word heretic, John, in Greek, means choice. It means, in addition to established truth, as it were, to look at alternate dimensions of that truth. I accept that accolade. Nancy Taylor asked if I would share some of my remarks made a couple of Thursday nights ago at Jazz around the theme of testimony, witness, reflection as to what Old South means to me, why I give, and why you should give. She said, "Don, testimony and reflection, not quite sermon." You give a preacher a live mic and a live congregation, who knows? Why Old South? Personally, I think it's a dynamic, inclusive community, joyously affirming that dynamic inclusivity. I think we're trying to really be truly welcoming. Hue of skin, ages, gender orientation and expression, blue collar, white collar, ethnicity, education levels, and so on. That's a hard task to pull off. And I think we're really intent in pulling it off. Certain limits to Big Tent, to be sure, no hate speech here, and no putting down of the other. But rather, to me at least, it seems to be a place, in response to Mary Oliver's question in one of her poems, "What do you want to do with your one wild and precious life?" I think most in this church have responded in some fashion, whatever family, vocation, educational setting, or whatever you find yourself in, I think they've responded with the notion of, yes, we will follow Jesus, which means to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what I sense here at Old South Church in a variety of ways. The classes, the sermons, the small groups, the prayer time, healing service, all sorts of things that are happening, but not just for us to grow, but it seems to me a reaching out into the larger world too. We belong to the GBIO, Greater Boston Interfaith Organization. We have major gatherings, and every so often, John Edgerton will announce that there will be a mass plenary session, 800, 1,000, 1,500 people at the mosque, at Old South, at Trinity, at the temple, or whatever, in which we talk about policies affecting gun control and affordable housing and the like. You need to be there for one of those to catch the flavor of an interfaith group trying to better our world. And then here at Old South, I think there's the Global Warming Task Force, the prison sentencing reform, the sanctuary movement. It's exciting. But someone says, "Don, you know, really, it's all good. It's all good, but it's only a drop in the bucket. You've shifted from paper cups to mugs at coffee hour. The ice cap is still melting." Okay. As a young pastor, in my first pastorate back quite a few years ago now in Central Square, Cambridge, Pilgrim Congregational Church, I was green, I tell you, in every way. I was working on my exams for my PhD at Boston University, so I accepted this church. We had to eat, too, so the church was great. And I heard that Dr. King was coming to Boston, and we were invited to march with him. I never made it to Selma. Dick Yeo did over here, but I marched with him in Boston, down Columbus Avenue, singing, "Ain't Nobody Gonna Turn Us Around," and so on. He spoke on the Boston Common and to the legislature, and he wanted to talk then to clergy later in the afternoon. So I was there, a couple of hundred of us packed into the chapel at St. John's Roman Catholic Seminary in Brighton. I don't know what he said that day. I only know I was riveted by his presence and by a phrase that he used. I'm sure he used the phrase in other venues. He said, "We will hew out of the rock of despair a stone of hope. We will hew out of the rock of despair a stone of hope." Say that with me this morning. We will hew out of the rock of despair a stone of hope. See, we can't be discouraged at how small the efforts might be or how large they might be or whether our efforts have transformed anything nationwide. We have to hew out of the rock of despair stones of hope. That's why I'm here at Old South Church. I see a lot of folks working hard to live out the life of Christ in the midst of the world. That's why I'm here. That's why I pledge. That's why I hope you too will pledge. Secondly, the issue of pastoral care is important to me here at Old South. It's a bit personal for me. As many of you know, my wife Betsy died 10 years ago. Complications from Alzheimer's disease, and then at the end, some complications from Parkinson's disease as well that sets in. The first few years were fine, as it were, with the medication holding, but then as time moved on, over a 10-year period, it got worse and worse. In the last couple of years, she had lost the power of recognition and most of the power of speech. And Old South was so very, very supportive, with cards and greetings each Sunday. She saw smiling faces. She couldn't remember your name or where she really was, but when the smiling face came to give her a hug, she knew that she was home. I want to call out this morning Jan Mosma, the organizer and mother of the Congregational Care Committee. Frozen dinners provided once in a while to us to take home to pop in the microwave, a massive help. Elias Perez, our senior sexton, helping with the wheelchair while I parked the car, he brought her in and talked with her, and his gracious and wonderful presence and smile. And after the memorial service, Nancy Taylor calling for a couple of weeks between 4:30 and 5 daily. "Don, how are you doing today? How are things going?" John O'Donohue, the Celtic poet and theologian, as in his little piece, Blessing, or Benacht in Gaelic, this, and I'll read just the first few lines. "On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you." What an image. May the clay of the earth, you see, dance to balance you so that you don't fall. The image of clay dancing for me was my kids and here at Old South Church. That's an important pastoral piece that this church provides. We are a family together. And you all can play a part in it. It doesn't have to be as dramatic and as traumatic as what some of us have gone through. But you play a part in the small groups, in the study groups, worship at the coffee hour. You hear of one another's journey. You pray for each other and are concerned with each other. This is lifting up the Protestant principle, which says we are priests one to the other. We are priests one to the other, listening and healing. And again, it may not be as dramatic as some of us have gone through. At jazz service the other night, I sang some of these things. I looked over, and there was John. And I said, "Well, when John breaks his leg, you know, we will all send cards and greetings and whatever. Or if he gets arrested for a good cause," Nancy shouted out, "Never mind cards, bring bail money, you know." the congregation responds to whatever the setting is. And I think we still have much to learn. To be sure, we are not perfect. But we need to remember that we are that caring community. That's why I have been blessed here at Old South Church. And as I look out, I see many of you have been blessed in a variety of ways. That's why I pledge, and I hope that you will too. But then there's my work here at Old South. After Betsy died in the summer of 2008, I had just retired as executive director of the Massachusetts Bible Society. I'd been a member, Betsy and I had been a member of this church since when I left parish ministry to be the executive director of the Massachusetts Bible Society. You have to be a member of a UCC congregation for your ordination to be intact. So we came here under the wonderful preaching of Jim Crawford and the wonderful music that was here and the music that still continues to this day on a very high and beautiful level. So the person who was here at Theologian in Residence, after a sabbatical year, he left, and I asked Nancy, might that be a place for me? And so 10 years later, here I am talking to you. At first, I taught mini courses. There was no real community hour as it is structured now. So I taught mini courses, three or four throughout the year, looking at issues of Celtic spirituality, the church as a redemptive community, liberation theology, and on and on. And then the associate minister moved on, and I took on the theological book group every Monday evening. 20 to 22 of us, that's too large for a book group. But how can you cut it? There's even a waiting list. And the books we read are wonderful, you know. We read Amy Jill Levine, Elaine Pagels, Marcus Borg, Nadia Boltz-Weber, and on and on and on. And each participant is working through their own journey. And there's no right or wrong necessarily, but we are invested in looking at truth as what we have experienced growing up and to see what new dimensions there might be. There's always much to learn. For example, in our discussion now of the late Marcus Borg's new book, he raises the issue, is Jesus God? Borg says no, he never claimed it. Rather, he is the lens by which we see God. Now, this may vary a little from maybe how we have been raised, you see, but it's wonderfully stimulating, really. And there's much to learn. It's challenging each and every week. Then I also serve as ministerial advisor to those moving on toward ordination. John does some, I do some. I've done three, Heidi Carrington Heath, Amelia Nugent, who was ordained a year and a half ago, and now Rebecca Boulder, who's in process. We are a teaching church. We are a teaching church. I'm an advisor, yes, but I'm also a learner. Any teacher advisor knows that they gain more from the relationship with students or their classes or whatever than they could ever give. One example, Amelia Nugent and I were talking two years ago about the concept of the virgin birth. Now we don't have to get into that all this morning, and I'm not going to, but just listen to me. And we agreed that, you know, the Hebrew virgin was young woman. And it was assumed that every young woman would be a virgin. And so this cult of virginity and Mary and so on, we think put on it by the later church writers and so on. And so we were, you know, it's not a big thing for us at all, Amelia and me. But then she paused. And she said, we agree, Dawn, it's great. But isn't it nice to think of what God and women can do without the interference of men? Oh my, Wells, your learning curve is going up and up, you see. So, for these and other reasons, I am blessed to be here at Old South Church. I see it as a progressive Christian congregation that is not content to be where it is, but sees itself in process of moving on to new challenges and new tasks that lie ahead. The journey lies ahead, the journey with Jesus, and that journey needs all of us to be present. Just a few moments ago, we sang this lovely, gentle hymn, "You've Come Down to the Lake Shore." One of the verses we sang has the disciples saying, "You have looked into my eyes and you have called me by name." And in a moment, we'll sing another verse of that hymn. The disciples sang, "You, Jesus, need my hands, my exhaustion, working love for the rest of the weary." Oh my, oh my, what a calling. If Old South is nurturing you and challenging you and providing a venue for you to bring your faith out into the world where it's needed, if any of that is true, then the question really comes, will you follow? Are you coming? Can you be counted on? And I am convinced that you and you and you and me can be counted on in this beloved community. Let the whole church then say, Amen.
Amen.